I'm David Selvin, and with me is David Lerner. The Senate Watergate Committee has entered what we might call the CIA phase of its hearings. That is, the next three witnesses are all former or present members of the Central Intelligence Agency. At present, the committee is questioning the former director of the CIA, Richard Helms. And although none of the testimony that you're going to hear, probably not at least, within the next few days from members of the CIA is going to be anything new, since all of them have testified within the recent months to these same facts, although the context is somewhat different this time. The context this time is an investigation, of course, into the Watergate break-in and the Watergate affair in general. The three CIA people, Helms, Cushman, and Walters, have been questioned previously by the Senate Armed Services Committee, which is chaired by Senator Stuart Symington. And in sworn testimony before that committee on May the 14th, the deputy, former deputy director of the CIA, Lieutenant General Vernon Walters, testified, according to Symington, to a remarkable series of events. On June the 23rd of 1972, General Walters, who had been at the CIA about 6 weeks at that time, said he was asked to go to the White House with the director of the CIA at that time, Richard Helms. Subsequently, Helms has been appointed as ambassador to Iran. At about 1 p.m. that afternoon, there they met with H.R. Bob Haldeman and John Ehrlichman in the latter's office. General Walters said he was told by Mr. Haldeman that the Watergate incident might be exploited by the opposition, and that it had been decided that he, Walters, should go to then-acting FBI Director L. Patrick Gray and should tell Gray that if the FBI pursued an investigation of certain funds in Mexico connected with the Watergate case, this inquiry would compromise certain CIA activities and resources in Mexico. Haldeman specifically bypassed Walters' superior, Helms, during that meeting in asking that only Walters visit Gray. The context of the testimony given by Walters, Helms, and Cushman before the Senate Armed Services Committee was an investigation by that committee into the legal activities conducted by the CIA. The CIA charter specifies that the Central Intelligence Agency can't engage in domestic surveillance. At present, the vice chairman of the Senate Watergate Committee, Senator Howard Baker, is being interviewed outside the Senate caucus room. He's being asked about Helms' testimony this morning.
Baker put about what some of the material the CIA has provided to Howard Hunt had actually been used for, Helms indicating that to this day he doesn't know. Senator Baker wondering why he doesn't know, and then later on about why he didn't investigate all the people who had been with the CIA in some connection, even if necessary, why they were in jail. And I guess the question I put to Senator Baker is that the line of questioning that you put this morning seemed to depart so far from your usually very carefully neutral stand that I wonder if you're beginning to tilt from your tightrope.
No, I'm just trying to find out from Mr. Helms a fundamental fact. And the fundamental fact is not whether or not the CIA was involved, but whether there were outward signs that would justify someone thinking that the CIA was involved. Now, beyond that, and that was the primary interrogation of the witness, but beyond that, I was intrigued by Mr. Helms' statement and testimony today that the voice-altering device, the forged ID papers, the wig, the camera, and the tobacco case, and all these things were not used by Hunt and others in the Ellsberg break-in. And I asked him, well, where were they used? And he indicated that he didn't know. And from that point on, I confess to some curiosity about where they were used. Are there other break-ins? Are there other situations that we don't know about? So I hope it was noticed as well that twice in the course of my interrogation, I expressed a great admiration for Helms. I think he's a great American and did a great job as a CIA director, but this was just, I hope, an impartial effort to find facts on a subject that appears incomplete in the record.
I think we have time for just one more short question before the hearing resumes. The speculation that went around the hearing room today is that you now think President Nixon is going to make it and you want to be on the right side. That
no,
would be incorrect.
No. I have no statement to make in that respect. I indicated in my opening statement on the first day of hearings that whatever feelings I have in that respect, I'll keep to myself. I intend to keep it to myself, and this has absolutely no relationship to that.
Senator, have you had any more communication with the White House?
Absolutely.
The Senate has been called into session by Senator Sam Ervin, and we'll switch inside the Senate caucus room.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questioning is being conducted by David Dorson.
White House to the CIA.
Dr. Kissinger.
Was there much contact between Mr. Ehrlichman or Mr. Haldeman and the CIA?
There was some, of course not nearly as much. There was more with Mr. Ehrlichman than there was with Mr. Haldeman.
Can you give us some idea of the number of contacts between Mr. Ehrlichman and the CIA during the time you were director?
Well, that would be difficult, Mr. Counsel, because I don't know any way to come up with a statistic. I suppose that I've had a dozen or so contacts with him myself over a period of 3 or 4 years.
And were many of these requests for information or requests that the CIA do something?
Well, there were a variety of things. There were meetings I attended that Mr. Ehrlichman called. I recall one particular activity when the White House was redoing the method of classification of documents and devising some new procedures for declassifying documents. There were some meetings in order to rewrite these regulations, and I remember attending at least one. There may have been two.
Now, in connection with the request in July of 1971 for the CIA to furnish support for Mr. Hunt, is your understanding, is it not, that Mr. Ehrlichman contacted General Cushman, is that correct?
That was my distinct impression.
And in June of 1972, when you were at the meeting in Mr. Ehrlichman's office, am I correct that it was General Walters who was asked to go to Patrick Gray by Mr. Ehrlichman?
He was asked by Mr. Haldeman.
Excuse me, by Mr. Haldeman.
Yes.
Did you make any connection then or subsequently concerning the fact that the two deputies who were asked to participate in the fashion described were both military men?
Well, I didn't know whether it had to do with the fact that they were military men or they were particular appointees of this administration, or just exactly whether they were old friends and therefore seemed to be easier to deal with them. I really don't know which of these considerations loomed the largest.
Now, were you aware prior to the May 22, 1972 announcement by the President of the organization known as the Plumbers, or the fact that there was such an organization in the White House?
You mean the May 22, 1973?
Excuse me, 73.
I'd never heard of a plumber's unit.
Were you familiar with an investigative unit in the White House?
I didn't know there was any unit in the White House that was actively carrying out, if you like, burglaries or activist activities of this kind.
Now, with respect to the material supplied to Howard Hunt, you referred to the wig as a fairly famous item. Was the wig that was supplied to Mr. Hunt by the CIA the same wig allegedly worn by Hunt, the red wig, when he saw Dieter Beard?
I've been told in recent times that the wig provided by the agency was a brunette wig. It was a dark hair anyway, and that some of the agency technicians rather resented the fact that the red wig had been tied in with the CIA because it was such a lousy fit.
Mr. Helms, Ambassador Helms, are you familiar with the memorandum to which there was a covering routing slip from General Cushman to you with the date August 23, 1971 on it?
Yes. This is indeed the memorandum as you showed me.
That's correct. Can we show this? And I'd just like to have you identify it, please.
Cameras. Yes, I am familiar with the memorandum.
excuse me, could you, I'd like the ambassador to hold this for another minute. And is that memorandum, the memorandum in chief, if I may use that expression, deal with the request of Mr. Hunt for the secretary to which you referred earlier?
Yes.
And is a portion of the routing slip, is that a portion of that in your handwriting?
Yes, there is.
And could you read the routing slip to us, please, including the portion which I understand is in General Cushman's handwriting and the portion that is in your handwriting?
The part that is in General Cushman's handwriting appears first. It says, FYI and guidance on how to handle. And then General Cushman's initial appears. My note back to him says, if Hunt renews the request, please let me know and I'll speak to Ehrlichman about it. Or I'll speak to Ehrlichman at once. These Xeroxes are not famously good.
Mr. Chairman, with the committee's permission, I would like to have that received in evidence.
Without objection, it will be marked appropriate as an exhibit received in evidence as such.
Ambassador Helms, this morning you were shown, or it was read to you, the memorandum dated August 31, 1971, and I'd like to show you a copy of that at this point. And to refresh your recollection, this is the one that deals, well, it states, I called John Ehrlichman Friday and explained why we could not meet these requests. I indicated Hunt was becoming a pain in the neck. John said he would restrain Hunt, signed by General Cushman, and you wrote good. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I direct your attention to the last typewritten page of that memorandum, and I read to you number three. I told Mr., and the name is blanked out at the request of the CIA, that Mr. Hunt's latest request drew us even further into the sensitive area of domestic operations against Americans, and that all such requests should be referred to General Cushman's office. Meanwhile, these requests should not be met. And there's a signature, initials DDCI, which represents a position in the CIA. What does that paragraph mean?
I don't know what this gentleman had reference to. It is signed by the executive assistant to the deputy director. And what he was referring to there, I have no idea. I heard of no specific Americans being involved at that time.
Do you have any knowledge of domestic operations against Americans?
No, sir. I don't know what he had in mind.
In your conversations with, Mr. Chairman, this, I believe, has been received in evidence, and copies were supplied this morning.
Yes, but part of the record is lost.
And each senator had received a copy this morning. Do you know what General Cushman was told concerning Mr. Hunt's operations?
I don't specifically, Mr. Counsel. All I recall was what I said this morning, that when Hunt came to him and asked for this assistance, he said it was for a one-time interview.
And do you know whether the camera that was given to Mr. Hunt was returned to the CIA prior to September 3rd, 1971, which has been given as the date of the burglary?
I don't know. I have heard it said that the camera was not returned, but that's really hearsay. I'm not sure that that was accurate information, but it was somehow my impression that he did not return this equipment.
Well, according to the records of the CIA, I believe the camera was returned, but the recorder was not.
Was it? But you have this in the records, don't
that
you? And I think it should be in the records of the committee, because I don't think this should depend on my memory. It's a relevant fact, and I would like to identify myself with what the record shows.
Very good, Mr. Ambassador. Now, earlier you were asked by Senator Talmadge whether you were asked by the White House concerning Mr. Hunt in terms of supplying a reference, and you indicated that you were not so consulted. What reference would you have given if asked?
Well, that's a terribly difficult question to ask me, and to
July or August of 1973, after all the evidence that's been brought forward, I think that what would have been in my mind at the time was to wonder why they wanted him and what his talents were that they wanted to avail themselves of, and I think my answer would have been largely dependent on what they told me.
Am I correct that in the last years of Mr. Hunt's service with the CIA, he was given a somewhat different assignment than he had before?
Yes, I believe that in his recent years there, he was stationed in Washington for one thing, and but precisely what his duties were at the time, I don't know, but they were not particularly operational. But as I explained this morning, he was having some family difficulties and so forth, and he was trying to work these out as well as do his job and so on, so that I can only assume that we were taking these human factors into consideration and had assigned him in a place where he could accommodate himself.
Did a question arise at a later time as to whether, in fact, Mr. Ehrlichman had communicated to the CIA with respect to Mr. Hunt?
Yes, and not terribly long ago. It seems to me that it was at the end of last year that and I would like to say, Mr. Chairman, that I believe that there is in your record paper which will give the precise dates and details about these things, but my recollection is that sometime in November, I guess it was, November or December of 1972, Mr. William Colby and Mr. John Warner of the agency visited Mr. Henry Peterson at the Justice Department, and I believe Mr. Peterson had Mr. Earl Silbert with him and perhaps two or three other people. I'm not sure who all the individuals were. And during this meeting, they were going over some material having to do with Howard Hunt, and the question came up about who had arranged for Howard Hunt to get assistance from the agency. And Mr. Colby identified the individual in the White House as Mr. Ehrlichman. As best I recall it, some days go by, and one day I got a call from Mr. Dean, who said that he had understood that it had been stated to Mr. Peterson that Mr. Ehrlichman was the man who had sponsored Mr. Hunt, and that Mr. Ehrlichman didn't remember this, and could there be some confusion? My recollection of the conversation was that I said General Cushman was the one who had dealt with this matter, and that I thought they could get the information from him. Mr. Dean then said he thought there ought to be a meeting to discuss this, and I said, fine, but be sure that you have General Cushman at the meeting. Then subsequent to that telephone call, a meeting was called in Mr. Ehrlichman's office about this matter. I went to this meeting with Mr. Colby, since Mr. Colby had had the conversation with Mr. Peterson, and we found in Mr. Ehrlichman's office Mr. Ehrlichman, Mr. Dean, and then there were the two of us, but General Cushman was not there. Mr. Colby was asked to explain what he had had to say, and he did so. Mr. Ehrlichman, as I recall it, said that he didn't remember these conversations or this conversation with General Cushman. The meeting then ended up in a rather unsatisfactory manner, because the only person that could have been helpful in this was General Cushman. And at the very end, Mr. Ehrlichman said, well, why don't you have General Cushman call me? He asked Mr. Colby to do this, and I verified to Mr. Colby that it was to call General Cushman and let him know. Now also, if memory serves, when I got that first telephone call from Mr. Dean, I believe I instructed Mr. Colby to tell General Cushman this meeting might be coming up so that he would be prepared for it.
Was there any reason given why General Cushman was not at the meeting?
There was no reason given that I recall.
And General Cushman would be the person most familiar with the question on hand, namely who called.
He was really the only one that could verify it.
Now, during the recess, we did look at one or more records and discovered that the first
transmission from the CIA to the FBI occurred on June 20th, 1973. Would that be consistent with your recollection?
1972, sir, if it was the break-in was in 72, this would have been...
Excuse me.
It does, and it corresponds to my recollection as mentioned in this morning's testimony when I said that as soon as the FBI started asking us questions about these people, we began replying. So that would track very well.
With respect to General Walter's memoranda, on the subject of how they represent your recollection as well as General Walter's recollection, could you please state to us again what contact you had in terms of reading them or speaking to General Walters before he wrote them?
Well, when General Walters and I decided that there should be a memoranda for the record of these various meetings and conversations, if I recall it, he wrote several on the same day. In other words, he was catching up. He wrote the meeting of the 23rd, and I think he wrote his meeting with of Dean with the, on the 26th and on the 27th. There may be another memorandum. It certainly is all in your record there. But in any event, he was writing them all to catch up, and then I believe after that he began to write memoranda for the record as soon as he'd had a meeting, so this wasn't necessary any longer. I don't recall how carefully I read these various memoranda because he'd reported to me the contents of these meetings orally each time, and I didn't feel at that juncture, as I recall it, constrained to read through every line to be sure that this was exactly what he told me. In other words, I was not distrustful of his record.
But you did peruse them to the extent of making sure that they were generally accurate, is that correct?
I think so, yes.
And before General Walters wrote each memorandum, he had already articulated to you almost immediately after the meeting the circumstances of what occurred at each meeting, is that correct? Now, there was some question this morning as to whether or not the president's name was invoked during the June 23rd, 1972 meeting, and I believe it's your best recollection that it was not, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. General Walters, as I recall the language in the memorandum, said something about it is the president's wish. I did not recall that language having been used.
When, for the first time, did you take note of your difference with the General Walters memorandum?
I believe we discussed that even at the time, as to just exactly how this has been put.
So that was one instance in where you saw fit to...
I'm afraid there is a disagreement even now between us as to just how this was worded.
But in other words, you did discuss possible disagreements in the subject matter of the memoranda even at
that
time.
And I think he felt at the time that since this was just a memorandum to jog his memory and so forth, that there was no reason to put down that we had a difference or to re-edit the language or to redictate the memorandum. It's very interesting, Mr. Counsel, that a lot of memoranda, if one had known then what one knows now, would have been compiled more carefully, the language would have been more judicious, there would have been a lot of things happened that didn't happen.
Well, we're thankful for the memoranda that we do have, Mr. Ambassador. Now, one question that I think is quite important. I believe you testified that you were asked whether there was, during the same June 23rd meeting, as to whether there was any involvement by the CIA in the Watergate. Is that correct? Were you so asked that...
Yes, I believe I was, Mr. Counsel.
And you replied no?
Yes.
Now, before Mr. Haldeman turned to General Walters and told him to go and speak to Patrick Ray, was any question directed at you or General Walters as to whether further investigation by the CIA might uncover assets or operations of the CIA?
You mean further investigation of the FBI?
Excuse me, FBI. Might uncover assets or operations of the CIA in Mexico?
I don't recall that this point was ever put to either of us in the form of a question. It was my recollection, or it is my recollection, that General Walters was asked to go and speak to Mr. Gray about this because there was the possibility that it might run into CIA operations. I was not asked whether it would or it wouldn't.
Did you comment one way or the other at that meeting as to whether you thought it might uncover such operations? Was there any discussion of that subject?
I'm sorry, Mr. Counsel, I don't recall any.
At any time did the CIA announce that it was conducting an investigation into the Watergate?
Announce that it was conducting?
Yes.
No. You mean a public announcement?
Yes.
No.
Was there any decision made within the CIA that there would be an investigation of the Watergate, or is the opposite true? I'm talking about any CIA discussions as to whether there would be an independent investigation by the CIA.
I'm not trying to be picky. When we talk about Watergate, now we're talking about the burglary, right?
I'm talking about the burglary, yes.
There was no public announcement. We simply did as I indicated this morning, and that is check with the various people that it had to do with the burglary, check on their records, check with others that it had dealings with them to be sure what their status was and all the rest of it.
And am I correct that there were a number of, quite numerous amount of communications between the CIA and the FBI and the Justice Department?
Many.
And to your knowledge, was any relevant information withheld from the CIA, by the CIA to the FBI, the Justice Department, information that you were aware of while the events were taking place in June, July, or August of 1972?
Sir, I don't believe so. Did the record show that there was anything of this kind?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all, Mr. Ambassador. I'm just asking for your knowledge. I have no knowledge to the contrary.
Well, I don't either. So, but I just wanted to be sure that my recollection tracked with the facts.
Senator Baker, Mr. Vice Chairman, I have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Counselor. Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Ambassador, did General Walters indicate to you between the time of June the 23rd and June the 28th that he was in any way concerned about the propriety of the request or order that Mr. Holloman had given him?
I don't know whether he ever mentioned the propriety of it. I think that, in fact, I'm sure that we discussed why the request was being made. We'd been asked to do it, what was behind it. We didn't have the information to put together at that time. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure as associates would, we were, you know, expressing wonderment to each other as to what this was all about.
Do you know why, for example, he waited until June the 28th to prepare this memorandum, which we've been referring to, where he sets all these things out?
Well,
why he waited 5 days in order to do that?
Well, Mr. Thompson, I don't know, but he will certainly be able to testify to that. But
didn't discuss this.
But as I indicated this morning, I don't remember anymore which one of us was the one that decided, or whether we just agreed in the conversation together. After the request from Dean for the agency to provide bail or salaries for the breakers in, or inbreakers, or whatever they are, that at that time it seemed desirable to put some of this on the record because this was getting a bit far afield and into a rather strange area, we thought, and that these various meetings then ought to be caught up. And I think that's the reason that on the same day he did the several at the same time.
In between the time of your conversation on the 23rd and the time he prepared this memorandum, Dean had contacted him 3 times, had he not? The 26th, 27th, 28th.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, anyway.
I believe that's right.
Yeah.
So would you say by that time then that he had become concerned about the matter and was covering his tracks, so to speak?
Well, you see, Mr. Thompson, I wish you'd help me with a point here. It is my recollection, contrary to what those memoranda show, that it was on Tuesday, the second meeting with Mr. Dean, that Mr. Dean mentioned bail and salaries, whereas General Walters' memorandum indicates that that comes on the Monday. And because my recollection is that it came on the Tuesday, that it was after that that we agreed that he should write these memoranda, and therefore he wrote the first of them on the very next day. I don't know whether his memory now that he thought it over.
There may be some difference between the memorandum and an interview. My understanding was, frankly, that on the 26th, the dean had asked him if there was any way that the CIA could possibly be involved, and whether or not the CIA could have been involved without Walter's knowledge. And then the following day, on the 27th, mentioning the witnesses involved and as to whether or not salary could be paid them and bail money could be raised. And on the 28th, just as more general discussion as to whether or not Mr. General Walters had any ideas as to how the matter could be alleviated.
His memory may straighten that out now. I don't know, but the reason that I cling to my recollection in this particular case is that the question of bail and salaries hit me rather hard. That made an impression on me, and it was that which I believe motivated us to say, you better start getting this in the record. And I think that happened on the Tuesday, which I believe is the 27th, and therefore he would have been writing these memorandum thereafter.
Right. Now, I know it's difficult to conclude what another man was thinking, but I assume you were talking to him from time to time. Might we conclude then that it was not so much the 23rd meeting in and of itself, but the subsequent contact with Dean that inspired him to put the matter in writing?
Yes, I think that's right. It's a combination of this.
Thank you, sir. I have no further questions.
Are there other questions of the witness? If there are no other questions, Mr. Helms, on behalf of the committee, may I thank you for your appearance. And to reiterate, we have some appreciation of the inconvenience that it may have caused you. We are grateful for your testimony and wish you good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thank the committee for its consideration.
Thank you, sir.